Today I want to discuss a controversial topic. Let me read you the pasuk. The pasuk that begins our topic of discussion comes from this week's parsha. In this week's parsha, Vayishma ha-Kananim b'l'charot, Yeshev ha-Negev kivo yishol derecho asorim. The Kananim king of Arad heard that the Jewish people were traveling through their territory. Vayilochem b'Yisro, they really heard Chazal tell us, they heard that the Anani ha-Kovo departed. Aaron ha-Kohen died. And when Aaron ha-Kohen died, the Anani HaKavod dispersed. So they no longer fear the Jewish people. Their iron dome was down. It was not working. Whatever it is. They couldn't... Anani HaKavod now dispersed. So that's it. They're in trouble now. So what happened? Oh, they no longer have any form of defense. They went to war. Vayilachim b'Yisrael vayishp milenu shavi. They took a captive. Oh, a captive. Rashi, who was this captive? Rashi, eina ela shivcha achas. It was a maidservant. It wasn't a soldier. It wasn't a warrior. It wasn't a general. It wasn't a civilian. It was just a shivcha. Who was the Shifcha? I don't even know who it was. I'm sure there must be a medrash that gives us more information. I'm not sure. But it was a Shifcha. Let me see what it says over here in the Sif Sechamim. The Kach Sif Lashon Yachid. It would seem the parish is Bo Behasra. Okay, a Shifcha. What was the reaction? No, there's a Shifcha. No, go on with life. Right, let's go. Just forget about it. Whatever will be, will be. They went to war. The whole Klal Yisrael mobilized, and they went to war. And the war was the war involved. Vayidar Yisrael neder laHashem vayomar im nason titein asam hazeh biyodi vahachramti asarim. We will obliterate them, destroy their cities. Vayishma Hashem bekol Yisrael vayitein asaknani vayacharim eshem viyesarehem vayikra shem hamakom charma. Klal Yisrael did not take lightly the fact that one of their own, even a shifcha, was taken captive. And they went to war. They went to war to rescue this Shifcha. It doesn't say exactly what happened with the Shifcha. I didn't look in the Midrashim, but this is how the parasha begins in Perek Chof Aleph. Okay, so what is the topic of discussion? What are the halachic rules of redeeming prisoners, captives? Well, of captives, or in modern terms, today, unfortunately, we all know too well this idea called a prisoner exchange. How far does one go in halacha to free a captive? So, obviously, the issues are, shouldn't Rachman Lachashon be an issue with what's going on right now? Yes, Hashem will misfollow for the release of the three young men who have been taken by Palestinians, by Hamas. But let's go back in history. Let's talk about probably the most recent event was Gilad Shalit. Gilad Shalit was released after how many years was he held?
5 years.
Unbelievable. For how many people?
Thousand.
Over a thousand. I have over here, I printed out some stuff from the web. I don't even know all the numbers. A thousand Palestinians were released.
And not only that, look at the condition that he was in and the condition that they were in.
Exactly. So this is the issue. What does halacha have to say about prisoner exchange where it's disproportionate, where we're giving over a thousand terrorists in exchange,
in other words, you're not exchanging.
It's not. It's right. It's what's called in Chazal Yoiser Mechdei Demehen.
That's the key.
Yoiser Mechdei Demehen. We're going to discuss this. I'm going to read you a couple of things from the halacha. But there's basically a concept that there's no greater mitzvah than pidyon shvuyim. It's one of the greatest mitzvahs to redeem a captive. However, there are exceptions. You're not allowed to redeem a captive what's called yoiser michdei demehen, more than their value. What does that mean? How do we define value? What is yoiser michdei demehen? What are the reasons? What are the nafkaminas? What are all the issues? This is what I'd like to discuss very briefly in the next few minutes. Now, first, you have to just keep in mind that unfortunately, the Israeli government is not coming to ask the Rabbanim. They're not coming to ask the chief rabbi what the halacha is. Okay, so it's not a question which is practical for Bali Halacha, because no one is coming to ask Bali Halacha what to do. The Israeli government is unfortunately not yet a fully religious government where they are bound to follow Torah law. So they will do what they feel is the right thing to do from their perspective. But Al Pi Halacha, it has wakened up all the Bali Halacha. What is the Halacha? We know they're not going to listen. We know they're going to do whatever they feel is the right thing to do, whatever the political reasons are. But what is...
theory.
Right, of course. We're just speaking theory. What, I mean, of course, all of the Rabbanim have expressed their halakhic opinion. That's what we're going to discuss. And there's no clear answer. And there's a very, very great divide among the Gedolei Yisrael and what is the halakha. And the Mela, whatever the Israeli government does, they have Yesh Ami L'smoch. But the point is, they're not coming to... unfortunately, the situation should not be a situation should never happen again, but they're not coming to ask. So it's more of a theoretical...
given the diversity of opinion,
yeah.
Would you ask?
See, that is why you need a Sanhedrin. When you have a Sanhedrin, there'll be many opinions. But the bottom line is, you follow the majority. Achere Rabim Lahatos. If there was a Sanhedrin in Klal Yisrael, there would be 70 opinions. There will be 70 opinions, 30, 23 opinions, whatever the number of Dayanim, and obviously there's going to be, a very great range of opinions of what to do in a given situation. But the Torah tells us, Acharei Rabim Lahatos. Whatever the majority opinion is, that what is what the halacha would be. If today the Israeli government is not coming to take a poll to ask all of the people who are recognized in Eretz Yisrael, you would take 100 Rabbanim who are recognized to be the biggest pesach in Eretz Yisrael. I'm sure you can put together a diverse group from all the different segments of Klal Yisrael, living in Eretz Yisrael, living abroad, and you can, everyone can be masking. These are people that we recognize to be experts in Psak Halacha, and they would issue an opinion, and you would follow the majority, and that's what would be done. But no one's coming to do it. No one is asking Rabbanim what their opinion is. Things are being done based on other considerations. But let's at least discuss this idea. Theoretically, what are the issues? Okay, we're not coming to the Tzad Halacha. What are the issues? So let's just go through some of the sources. I have here a fantastic sefer, Torah Ladas, by Rav Matthes Blum. And he goes through, and he really touches all bases. He touches upon every issue, every different opinion. And as we go through each of the sources, we'll discuss how this apply, at least from things that I've seen to modern day situation. So first, let's look at the Rambam. Let me just read the words of the Rambam, very powerful. The Rambam writes, "Pidyon shvuyim kaidim leparnosas aniim ulechasaisan." The most important, the primary mitzvah that a tzibur has upon them is to redeem captives. It comes before feeding the poor, before welfare, before any government programs, before all entitlements. The most important thing that has the priority one for the government is to redeem captives. Any Jewish person that is in the hands of a non-Jews must be redeemed. That's priority number one.
Redeem means pay?
Seemingly yes. Whatever they want. Whatever they want to give them, you give them. Whatever they want. Let's see. The Ein Locha, let me just read the words of the Rambam. Everything is not clear. That's why there's so many variables. There is no consensus on what the halacha would be in a modern day situation.
What's the definition of terrorism?
A captive. A person that is in a dungeon.
Sentenced to 20 years for tax evasion. He's in prison.
You can't generalize. You have to know his condition. Is he guilty? You can't generalize. There's no answer to that question. You can't generalize. What is his condition? You're referring to Rabashkin. You're referring to Pollard. You're referring to everyone quotes him. Everyone, but you can't compare the conditions of the Rami Ramber, the suffering that he went through, to modern day conditions in the United States. As a person committed a crime. Mayor Mirenberg didn't commit any crime. It was just Sinas Yisrael. It was a form of ransom. They wanted to get money. They wanted to imprison other Jews. So his situation is not comparable to anything that we have today in America, at least. Okay. Or other countries, not necessarily. You have to know, you can't generalize, not even individual cases. There's a corruption of justice. Many people feel there are certain people in prison. Pollard. People have been rallying for Pollard for 25 years, 26 years. And they've been citing all of this statistics and all the different people are comparable to him, what has happened to him, it's just off the charts, it's not fair. Why is it taking place? They'll compare him to a shavui, Eino Chinami. What about Rabashkin? There are crimes that have been committed, but there is a system of justice. Let's Eino Chinami, every situation is different, and let's fully focus more on some of the issues. So let me first read the words of the Rambam. There's no Rambam says. These are the words of the Rambam. Powerful stuff. There's ein lecha mitzvah gedayla. There's no greater mitzvah kipinyan shvuyim like pinyan shvuyim. Shahashavi hariu b'chlal ashavi is in the category of roev haravim, people that are hungry. That's the name, thirsty. V'harumim naked. V'oymed b'sakonas nefashas. So you'll ask me today, is that true today? With regard to people that are in prison in the United States, I don't know. That's an issue. The hamal emeinav mipidyoinoi harayz over al, anyone that hides his face, that does not assist in redeeming, he's over on the following averus. Lo sa'ameitz es levavcha, don't close up your heart. Lo sikpos es yadcha. That's one pasuk. Number two, v'al lo tamoid al dam reyecha. Number three, v'al lo yirdenu b'ferech leinecha. Don't allow your brother to suffer crushing labor in front of you. Number four, your mevada lemitza posech tiftach es yodecha. Open up your hand to redeem someone. Umitzvas v'chei achich imach. That's already five. Number six, v'yahav derecha kamoicha, seven, v'hatzel l'kuchim l'mavis, pasuk in Mishlei, that's eight, v'harbe dvarim ke'elu v'ein l'cha mitzvah rabba, the Rambam repeats himself, v'ein l'cha mitzvah rabba k'pinyin shvui. Okay.
What's the reference for that Rambam?
The Rambam is Matnas Hilchos Matnas Aniyim Halacha Yud. Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, Perik Ches Mehilchos Matnas Aniyim Halacha Yud. Okay, Shulchan Aruch. Let's now go to Shulchan Aruch in Yerodea. Yerodea is in the Ration and Base. Sif Gimel. Kol Rega, every moment, Shema Achar Liftois Hashvuyim, Heicho De'evshor L'haktim, where it's possible to accelerate the process, Havei Ki'ilu Shoifeich Damim. You're a murderer. If you have the ability to redeem a captive, someone that's in captivity, and you say, we'll wait it out. We'll see who's going to give in. Who's going to give in first? We'll let it go on for a couple of years. Ki'ilu shayfech damim. Okay, another Rambam. The Rambam talks about, that you have to sell, that the tzibur has to sell all their assets. If there's a shul camp, and this is no yahalach al-maisa, you have a shul, a community that's building a shul, and they've collected millions of dollars. Can you imagine they collected a significant amount of money to build a shul? Everyone has pledged for a shul. All the money, you don't have to ask for shul, so you can take all the money that was pledged for the shul, for the binyan of Beis HaKnesses, and you can give it to redeem a captive. That's part of the power of the tzibur. And she'ir she'govu mos le'binyan Beis HaKnesses, u'bolchem devar mitzvah, mo'itzin bo hamos. The money can be used to redeem the captive. And he goes on to describe all the details of this halacha. That's another Rambam. Now here comes the problem. The problem is Gemar Masech Negitin. Okay, here's again to all the controversy. Masech Negitin daf Mem Hei Tanan. It's a Mishnah. Ain good. You redeem a captive, but Ain Poidim Es Hashvuyim Yoiser Al Kidei Demehen Mibnei Tikon Ha'olam. Buzzword. Tikon Ha'olam. You don't redeem a captive more than their value. Now, what's the reason? There are two reasons given in the Gemara. What's the reason? The reason number one is, if the Goyim see that we're redeeming them for more than their money, they will be inspired. This is a good technique. We'll do it again. We'll capture more people. And the second reason given is, not to be a burden, not to bring the tzibur l'idei anius. An entirely different reason. Nothing to do with planning for the future. Who says that you mechuyev to plan for the future? Let's worry about the situation right now. Right now, we'll redeem him. What will be tomorrow? Will they learn from this? Will they be inspired to continue? That's none of our business. There's another problem. It's a financial burden. If they want, for this person, they want $500 million, and every single member of the community has to go give away all of his money, everyone will go into debt, it's a financial burden. It's a chiddush. A financial burden does not, the tzibur does not have to come on the anias to save the life of a person, of a shavui. Okay, that's all it says. Now, it doesn't tell us much about the condition of the captive. Seemingly, the condition of the captive is not going to die. He's just going to be incarcerated. He's going to be locked up, but he's not going to be kuch nefesh.
What would the situation be if he was going to die?
Okay, that's Enochlam. That's a Tosfos. Doesn't say that anywhere in the Gemara. The only one that mentions that point is Tosfos. And Tosfos, that's not quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Not every svara that's presented in the Rishon is accepted lahalacha. That's all part of the controversy. Okay, let's go further. Okay, so that's the Gemara. The Gemara is Tikkun Olam. And the Gemara gives two reasons. There's a nafkamina between the two reasons. One of the nafkamina is very important. The Gemara talks about the nafkamina. Nistalgu b'tamatakon. Rashi said, when Rashi there says nafkamina between the two reasons, Rashi says, if the person has a rich relative. Right? So let's say you have a very rich relative, you have a person that's taken as a captive, they want $500 million, happens to be a relative of a very big gevir, and he's willing to shell out $500 million to redeem the captive. So because of the first time, will it encourage the terrorists to do this again? Absolutely. But according to the second time, will it bring the tzibur le'anias? No. It's not. So here, a very important nafkamina, private sponsor. So let's deal with the situation where he's not. He's a very stingy guy. He's not. So will he? Well, let's say he would. It's his own relative. So here is the first nafkamina between these two reasons. If a person is a private sponsor, according to the first reason, is not an excuse. The tzibur will not allow a private person to enter into the picture to redeem someone because it will inspire the terrorists to continue this approach. A second time, no, there's no poverty, so therefore you want to do it, you do it. Now here's the big problem. The big problem is the Rambam and the Mechaber, when they mention halacha, tikkun olam, guess what? The Rambam gives reasons. The Rambam mentions only the first reason. The Rambam, this is in the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara says two reasons, and Rashi gives us an afkamina. And the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch cleverly omit the second reason, poverty. They don't give the reason because you're going to cause the tzibur to come with the anias. The only time is because you should not encourage the terrorists to do this again. That's the only that counts. Memela, since the Rambam left out the other time, it's not, even a private sponsor would not be allowed by the tzibur to give away his money to redeem his relative.
That's only an excess.
What?
If it's a normal amount, it's a reasonable amount.
No, it says yoiser, but right, exactly, very good, excellent point. It's only when it's excess, where it's more than yoiser mechdei dimehen. Okay, then let's go to another issue. What does it mean? What's a person's value? The United States recently, a couple of years ago, they evaluated what is a person's value of a person, of a United States citizen. No, the value, how much is worth to society. They put a number. It's very controversial, if you remember in the news, a couple of years ago, $7 million. A newborn baby, they put a value in every person. A new person is worth to society. An average citizen born is worth to the United States government. What is the, I get talked to an actuary.
Income generated over life.
Yeah, I don't know. There are a lot of things, a lot of different variables and criteria that they goes into factor. I don't know who their actuaries are. This is something for an actuary to figure out. The value of a newborn baby in the United States is to the government is $7 million. A year later, they said there's an adjustment, only worth $6 million. We went down in value by $1 million in 1 year. An average. Obviously, you have a Bill Gates. Obviously, Bill Gates is worth a lot more to the United States than someone like me. But there's an value. What does it mean, b'chdei d'mehen? Maybe that's something that you can use. Right? If that's what the United States values a person, and it's interesting in halacha. Where do you draw the line? So the Gemara talks, there's a lot of Rishonim. Let's run through very running out of time. But remember very quickly, some Rishonim say the value depends on how much a person is worth to be sold as a slave. Now the Piskei Teshuva says the problem is that b'zman hazeh, slavery has come to an end long ago. Okay, forget about Abraham Lincoln. Go back even before Abraham Lincoln. Slavery has come to an end in a good part of the world long ago where if b'chdei d'mehen means how much a person is worth to be sold as a slave, what happens when there is no slavery? How then do you evaluate? So some places can say, it's not true. Slavery exists in the world. There are places in the world where slavery still exists, which is true. And whatever it is, go figure it out. Go figure out how much a human being is worth in countries where slavery still exists.
Manual labor.
whatever it is. That's called b'chdei d'nehen. That's what it's. That's one approach. Another approach is. Okay, the Avogadro Aretzenu ein regilin limkar avodim. Okay, let me see over here. There it's Shmuel. Shuv koyse apischit shuva shemotza b'shuvas haradvas the perish g'day debeim who kamoshen sheniftim shvuim oivdei kachavim. The going rate. There's no slavery in the civilized world anymore. The going rate. If an American citizen was captive, held captive in some terrorist nation, some country.
The pirates.
What is the going rate? What is the going rate that a government or a family would pay for a non-Jew? Whatever that is, that's a reasonable amount of money to pay for a Jew that's been taken into captivity. More than that, anything more than that, we follow the Gemara. We're not allowed to redeem a captive Yotze Mechdei Din Behen. We only give the first time Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam omit the second time of you don't want to bring the tzibur lidei anius. The only concern is what the future, what will be the effect for the future, and categorically forbidden yotze mechdei din. Now, certainly to release 1,000 terrorist prisoners for one soldier is certainly begeder l'chol hades. I don't think there's anyone over here that says not like that. And all the literature I've read is considered to be anything less than it certainly fits the category of yotzer mechdei dinehen. Now, what are the exceptions? The exceptions are, and here's the list. We'll right away jump into the modern sections are if there's a sakana, the person will die. If there's a sakana that the captive will die, then some rishonim hold doesn't apply. Let me read if I can find it. Exactly. Poor medical condition to start with, or there's a sakana that will be put to death, then the rules do not apply. This, I can't remember everything I read. I read this very quickly. And the big question is that accepted lahalacha, yes or no? Certainly anyone, bizman hazeh, anyone in Eretz Yisrael who was taken as a captive is certainly without question begeder sakana pikuach nefesh. So the only question is this exception lahalacha? It's brought that I think by Rishon, maybe it's a Tosfos. Let me see if I can quickly find it.
It would still be an encouragement.
Exactly. So, in other words, you have to say we don't always take into account the future. The future is not here yet. In an ideal world, you plan for the future, but when you have a dire situation, you have to focus on the present. You can't always worry about the future. If everything is kosher v'yosher, so you have long term investments, retirement plan, the golden day, golden age, you'll worry about what's going to be in the future. But if you have a pressing need right now, if we release 1,000 soldiers, is there an imminent danger at this very moment? Many experts will say not necessarily tomorrow. Maybe in a year from now, these people will go back to their old ways, but it's not imminent. Right now, do we have a situation where one of ours, Achinu Bnei Yisrael, is begedet pikuach nefesh? If the answer is yes, okay, I don't remember, I can't find it very quickly. I'm running
out. What is imminent is to take more captives.
What?
What is imminent?
Not mukhrach. Not necessarily. It's not, will they take tomorrow, the moment we release this soldier, they'll right away take another soldier? Not mukhrach, maybe yes. Now you can argue, maybe yes, maybe not. Okay, that's one issue that has to be dealt with, and that would indeed be a heter. Another, now this is a fascinating heter that was given by Rav Shaul Yisraeli. Anyone here? He's a very big poysek, one of the chief rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Shaul Yisraeli. He says there's another heter in halacha: a husband is allowed to redeem his own wife, or a wife is allowed to redeem her husband, or a parent is allowed to redeem their child. This is because of Hashach. B'shem habach, derishai liftos yoyse b'chdei demeim bein lebitoi ukroiva v'chol adam v'ein moichin. Kev in the leka duchka de tzipura v'kol shkain ein moichin v'shabo liftos es ishtoi. El de'ein mechayv liftos ishtoi v'yoyse b'chdei demecha v'chein amod dovar. That is the common halacha. Okay, again, this is a toisves. Because of a toisves v'harash, davakav de'ein p'edim v'shu yoyse b'chdei demeim, yukamakam adam yachol liftos atzmoi. A person can redeem this a toisves. A person can redeem himself. Let's say you're held captive. Okay, here's the case. You're held captive, and you have a Swiss bank I know knows about that has $500 million, and you want to, I'll give you the account, let me redeem myself. Even though, who knows what the future will bring, when it comes to yourself, you're allowed to redeem yourself. Ishtoi kigufoi, and as an extension out of this, your own children are considered part of your body. The ishtoi kigufoi l'fiataisvus v'atur b'yavne ezra simin v'chein l'talmul. Another exception, talmul chacham. That's another exception. Biris hashaheter. So here is the incredible chiddush of Rav Shaul Yisraeli, who's one of the chief rabbanim of Yisrael. He says the Israeli government. Okay, that doesn't apply in every single situation. With regard to a soldier, not a citizen, but a soldier, it's one of yours. A soldier has enlisted, he's part of the Israeli government. They send him out on a mission. There are many variables in this situation. You've been sent out on a mission to accomplish a goal. You've been caught, you've been taken captive. The government, with its relationship to a soldier who has been sent out on a mission, is considered to be like their wife, or like a child, or like a relative. It's one of mine. It's our responsibility. The case of Shulchan Aruch is where you get news that in the community there was a pirate that captured a civilian. Now that Tzibur has come together, what should we do? Should we go? Should we exert ourselves to redeem a stranger? He's not a stranger. Achinu b'nei Yisrael. Should we have an obligation? Well, if we're going to give the pirates $500 million, who knows what they'll do tomorrow? We have to take into consideration all these factors. We have an obligation to him. And there are limits. Kol Yisrael leim lazel is limited. But when it comes to your own wife, yourself, your own wife or your children, that's already a much higher standard. You have a duty towards yourself, to your wife, to your children, and the halacha doesn't apply. The Israeli government, who has taken a soldier and has sent him on a mission, and as a consequence, that soldier has been taken captive, the Israeli government has a duty to do everything in their power to save that person's life, to redeem him, and they don't have the obligation to take into consideration what's going to be tomorrow. Tomorrow they'll abduct more soldiers. Tomorrow is not here today. We have to have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to leave a little bit for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have a right, you have an obligation. And therefore, Rabbi Shlomo Israel, he paskined that the Israeli government has an obligation. There's no such thing as an unfair price. They have an obligation to release no matter how many soldiers, as long as it's not an imminent threat. Okay, it's obviously not dealing with people that, you know, release them until next day, they become suicide bombers, but as long as there's a reasonable assumption that the people they're going to release is not an imminent threat to the state of Israel, have an obligation to release no matter what, they deny him even in a crazy amount of people in order to free Jerusalem. And he writes over here, one of the sources that Shlomo Zalman Auerbach agreed with this Pesach Halach. He agreed with this, and he was in favor, it's a long time, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, it was different, like 15 years ago, maybe even more, he was in favor of prisoner exchange because of this time as well. In addition, when you take into consideration, also that it's Bikuach Nefesh, that's another sniff, a soldier that's in the hands of enemy hands, pikuach nefesh, and also there's other halachas that is a talmud chacham. Doesn't that talmud chacham? Some neshamah tara mitzvos. Some neshamah tara mitzvos also has potential. Also, they talk about a person who can be a young person who has potential to become a talmud chacham and is a neshamah tara mitzvah from a yeshiva. Also, is in the geder another reason why thing to combine that you're allowed to redeem yoisa michdei dineim. Now there are Rav Gorin, Rav Shlomo Gorin, who was once a chief rabbi of Israel, very controversial chief rabbi, so and so, but he was against. That's what they write over from him, that he did not hold this heter. This goes back way years ago. There are a lot of different incidents where there were prisoner exchanges, and he held that al pi halach it's aser, you're not allowed to encourage. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, okay, the hijacking of Rav Hutner, okay, the Jordanians, the whole story about it. I don't know all the exact details, but from what I've read, a little bit I've read, appears that he was also against it. He held that you're not allowed to redeem Yosef. You should not encourage them for the future. Rav Avadi Yosef, he holds that. Under certain, he doesn't say I don't have the whole write up, but he was in favor. He was in favor. He was soimich on these heterim. The big questions are: let's say it would not have been, not, it's not a soldier, or the soldier was not on a mission.
He's not alive.
Oh, that's for sure. What was his name? Arad. Ran. The body. Even his mother. If a mother died, said they should not give up, they should not release anyone for a body. They're not alive. That's the very shvacha heter. There's no heter. But on the other hand, there's another consideration is the morale of the soldiers, or the morale that if the soldiers know that when the soldier is taken captive, they're not going to come back for them, it creates a certain environment and more lowers the morale of the soldiers. Also has an effect on it, can be added to contribute to be kuach nefesh. So basically,
he does not want to be traded for
any soldiers. So these are some of the issues. Issue the exception of pikuach nefesh, exception for Talmud Chacham, or potential to become a Talmud Chacham, doesn't apply, or if it's your own, one of your own, these are exceptions. Are they in the situation, Eretz Yisrael, Rachman al-Islam, where they're as prisoners? So, the Rav Goren, I think some didn't want to point out, there's a difference between when a civilian is taken as a captive, compared to when a soldier is taken as a captive on a mission. When a soldier is sent out on a mission by the Israeli government and they're taking him captive, then there's much more of a heter, al pi halacha, for there to be a prisoner exchange, yosem echdei demeim. But when a civilian is taken as a captive, then it's more difficult. Not that it's not mutter. Obviously, how can you differentiate today? Everyone in Eretz Yisrael, you'll say, is a soldier. You're living in a matzav where everyone's in the same boat. Everyone is together. These are all very complicated issues, and there's no consensus. There's a very broad range. There are a lot of rabbanim that are on both sides. Many rabbanim are very against. They were very against the prisoner exchange of Gilad Shalit. They felt it was not the proper thing to do. And they had no shame to come out and openly say, I mean, how do you face the parents of Gilad Shalit to say that you're not in favor of prisoner exchange? They felt it's the greatest sakana for Klal Yisrael to encourage them to do this again. Okay, it's a very complicated issue, but we do have some occur in the parsha. Vayish b'menu shevi. What was Klal Yisrael's reaction? The reaction was Mesiras Nefesh. You go at it all ends. What other Makar is there in Tanakh for captives? Well, the first Makar comes from Avraham. Avraham, when he heard that Lot was captured, his brother, Lot, he went out, Vayorok Eschanichav. According to one Maimon Chazal, Vayorok means he poured out all of his assets. He gave away all his money. It was a mistake. He wasn't allowed. Yosef Mechdei Dineim. Avraham Avinu, he went to save Lot. Yosef Mechdei Dineim. Vayorek Eschanichav means he paid him off. He poured out his wealth in order to save. Was Avraham criticized? Well, Vayorek Eschanichav, it's a question. Was it the right thing to do? Not the right thing? It seems from what I've read that it was the right thing to do. But there you can't compare. There were other considerations. And one of the other considerations was it was a Kiddush Hashem. It was a Kiddush Hashem to Mekadesh Shem Shalit before Matan Torah. Another point is he made a Tanai. He went and he agreed with Lot, I'm going to be there for you. When you pledge yourself to come to the person's aid in the beginning, there's nothing wrong with doing so. For example, there's nothing wrong with having an insurance policy. It's not today there is such a thing. People that travel on the high seas and high risk, it's high risk. In Mexico, I met someone this Shabbos who lives in Mexico City. And I had a whole discussion with him what it's like. What's it like to live in Mexico City? He lives in Mexico City. That's all the way on the east side, the southeast of Mexico. That's not anything near the border with the gangs or the drug-related violence is. But he says where he lives, it used to be very kidnapping, so a very big problem. It was not so uncommon for a wealthy family to have one of their family members kidnapped and demanded a high ransom. So what do people do? It's not a joke. People in these countries, in these situations, they take out insurance policies.
Work with security guards.
Security, but they work with bulletproof suits, and they
executives in this country carry
also. But they have insurance policies. Insurance policies that if someone in their family is captured, they pay a nice amount of money a month, whatever the premium, and the insurance will be willing to pay up to $50 million, $100 million to pay ransom in case Chas Hashem, one of their family members, is redeemed. So if anything you do in advance to prepare for the situation, certainly not prohibited. Avraham Lot had an insurance policy. So you can't necessarily bring a riot from the case of Avraham Lot. There is another mice attack with David. There were captives taken in the time of David. David went and he was Moiser Nefesh to save the captives. So someone learned from there. You see that when it comes to Achinim Bnei Yisrael, comes times of war, when we get to a state of war, you are allowed to be Poideh Yosef Mechdei Dineim, and you don't need to take into account what's going to be in the future. Okay, with that, we'll leave it.